You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When you decide to dig into your family's roots, a typical approach is tracking down your ancestors' birth and death certificates, perhaps marriage records at a county office or a church. But that is not always an option for African Americans, whose roots go back to American slavery, where family ties meant absolutely nothing to slave owners, and buying and selling human beings meant families could be torn apart in an instant. My next guests are focused on helping other African Americans trace their family roots. Here now are the co-founders of the Washtenaw County African American Genealogy Society. We have Cheryl Garnett and Omer Jean Winborn. It's so good to have you here at Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you've both been doing genealogical research on your own families for years, and I'm interested how you each became interested in doing this kind of research. Omer Jean, tell us how that began for you.
My father migrated here from the South in the 40s. He raised six children, and so one day I was working on my third degree, and my dad looked at me and said, I wonder if they could teach an old man like me how to read. My father couldn't read. I was shocked. Who is this man? Where did I come from? How did I get here? He could not read.
And you're on your third degree.
Yes, I could not believe it. So then I started looking into my history. I joined Fred Hart Williams because I wanted some help. Fred Hart Williams is a genealogical society in Detroit. This is our 40th anniversary, and so I'm vice president of that organization, okay. And Cheryl is on the board with me. So I drug her, being my good friend, because she has such wonderful Canadian history.
So what about you, Cheryl? Was it because of Omer Jean that you started thinking of genealogy research?
No. When I was 16, my grandmother gave me our family tree. She wanted me to finish our family tree. Our family tree ended with her and her siblings. My grandmother died in 1997, and that's when I picked up the tree and said, I need to finish this for my grandmother. When I was 16, I folded it up and put it away because I wasn't interested and didn't know how to do it or what to do with it. But 1997, I said, I need to finish this for my grandmother, and started doing the research.
And then what motivated you to begin helping other African Americans do the kind of research you're doing?
I went with Cheryl for 20 years to her family's house. And I remember the first time I walked around the house and she said, this is where my grandmother used to collect rainwater to wash my hair. And I said, oh, you actually came to this cabin? She said, yes. And she said, this is where some of the people that were enslaved, this is the graveyard where they died. There's the wagon where they lived. And so for 20 years, we were going up to Canada. And then we found out, after doing DNA and after doing history and stuff, that we're related. We're cousins.
Mm-hmm. And you were friends before.
And 40 years friendship.
Isn't that?
And it was so phenomenal that we had to share what we learned with other African American people. And that's our life's work right now, mm-hmm. is to go around and show people how to do this.
You're part of this activity in Detroit, but there was nothing like this in Washtenaw County. So the both of you said, well, guess what? We're founding the Washtenaw County African American Genealogy Society. Tell us more about the challenges that African Americans face in tracking down their family histories. What kind of challenges, Omer Jean, do they face?
Because the people that were enslaved were sold, hired out so many times and so different, our ancestors are smiling because we're getting back together. We're finding everybody. We're finding our connections. And it's challenging. For the first, from 1940, when the first census came out, until 1870, that's when you need to trace your history. Then at 1870, things begin to change because that's the first census where African American are listed by name. But prior to that, you've got to do some research and some puzzles. And everybody's stories are not the same. So you have to think about what was going on in 1870. That was 5 years after the Civil War. Was your ancestor part of the Civil War? What part did they play? What state were they in? What was the battle? Were they in Michigan or were they in the South? Where were they? And so it becomes a puzzle, and you have to take it apart, and you have to look at everybody individually. You can't just blanket say that everybody were enslaved. Not all people were enslaved. Both of our people were free. Cheryl is really the genealogist. I'm not. So Cheryl has discovered that our ancestors were also Black loyalists. And so we're studying that. And that's there's a tremendous opening for that in a history that's not known. And that is, if you don't understand what Black Loyalists is, Cheryl explained it to me, is that they fought with the British against the United States for land and their freedom in Nova Scotia.
What is that like for people when they start to get a sense of their family history?
We're doing a case study, and I was working with someone, and we found out that his ancestor in 1853, I believe it was worth $14,000. You have to share that with everybody who's African-American. And I share a lot of stuff with Cheryl. And I said, Cheryl, you know what? I wonder, $14,000 in 1850? What did he do? And Cheryl says, well, he probably was a blacksmith because this person was treating him for burns. It's still a mystery. We're still working and we're still trying to find out what's happening. But when we saw that on the paper, he started crying and I started crying. And we just sat there for about 5 minutes and absorbed that, to take that in, to actually see that your ancestor was enslaved and the power that it brought to us and knowing who he was and how he got there.
What are ways, when you don't have the marriage certificates and the death certificates, that people take for granted? What are some tools?
Like Jean said, it's like putting together pieces of a puzzle. So it's figuring out where your family was. Who did they live near? What area? What was going on in that area? Who were their neighbors? Who were they connected to? I mean, it becomes a challenge, but it's not an impossible challenge. It becomes a life work, and you become obsessed with it. DNA has helped. Because with the DNA, people are making connections. I got a message from someone who lives in Colorado. And it's like, Colorado? How did I get a cousin in Colorado? She was related to my great-great-grandmother's sister. You know, and it's like putting together these connections that I would have never known.
So these mail-order DNA test kits that are being heavily advertised, and they're very present now, that must have really been a game changer.
That's how we found out that we were connected. And it was like a roundabout way, but we found out, and then the connection was to the Canadian ancestors and to find out that they were on the same settlement just through the DNA. That has meant so much to African Americans, because even though I know some people will disagree with it, that has helped us with our connections and putting our family back together.
Right. And that's one of the main things, is the DNA gives you the hint, but once you can find the papers, the documentation, mm-hmm. and that's what we say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're mixing this modern technology of the DNA kits mm-hmm. with that good old-fashioned, you know, boots on the ground, combing through archives, being a detective.
Being a detective.
Yes.
And then you can put those pieces together and confirm that, yes, indeed, this is a relative. I have the paperwork that confirms it. I have the marriage license. I have the death certificates. And that's another thing, finding the death certificates that have the names of the parents, you know, that have the names of the people who identified the person.
Have you been able to help any people trace as far back as their African roots?
We're at that place now. We're trying to get Cheryl and I, before we can show anybody else how to do that, Cheryl is guiding me. She's a really researcher, but she's guiding me back to Africa, almost to the slave ship. With the discovery of the Black Loyalists, we'll be able to tell. Because we're researching now. She's doing most of the research.
That's my new research project. Mm-hmm.
How do you see people's lives change, your lives change, because there's not a cloud anymore when you look to the past, when you can feel these connections with people who precede you and you feel knit together? How does that change your life?
It just makes me complete. Now I know who I am. It's no longer just my father. I didn't know my grandmother because my grandmother was deceased, both grandparents on both sides. I didn't know them, but it makes my story whole and complete, and it makes me so very proud.
And Cheryl?
The same for me. I have such a love of my ancestors. I am so grateful for who they were and what they did and what they accomplished. I have a third great grandmother, Jane King, who was a white woman, who fell in love with one of the men who was a slave of her husband. Her husband and the gentleman that was enslaved, John Walls. John and Daniel were friends. They grew up together. In fact, they were born on the same day. John's mother nursed the two of them together. They grew up as babies and toddlers as friends. The story is that one day they changed roles, and John's pretended to be the slave owner, and Daniel pretended to be the slave. Well, Daniel's father saw that, became furious, beat John, forbid them to play together ever again, and John's father, in seeing that, ran away, was captured, and was killed in front of John. John's mother was sold away. That so affected Daniel that he promised John his freedom. And before he died, he gave John his freedom. On his deathbed, asked John to take care of Jane. Well, they fell in love. He and Jane fell in love. And they knew they couldn't stay there. So they took off for Indiana with Jane's four children. And they were married by Quakers in Indiana. And then during the 1850s, when the word was out that there was going to be the Fugitive Slave Act, that they took off for Canada. So Jane and her life has had a great meaning for me because her courage and her strength. And I never knew where I had this attitude. I have an attitude, you know, this kind of quiet, but this nobody can tell me what to do attitude, this temper that I sometimes have. I used to say this eye rolling, head rolling isn't African-American. It's my Irish, Scottish temper. You know, it comes from Jane King. You know, this don't take no stuff, you know, because she picked up and left. She put her life
and
her
children. Lady.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Her children and herself. She gave up all of her privilege. She gave up all of her land. She left her family and everything for what she believed in. And she actually became an abolitionist. She came back to the U.S. twice to free other people. Her life and her life story is a part of who I am and why I'm the kind of person that I am.
It was so great to hear your stories, Cheryl Garnett and Omer Jean Winborn, who are co-founders of the Washtenaw County African American Genealogy Society. It's clear it's such a passion for both of you. Thank you for sharing it with us.
No, thank you.
Thank you.